morning, welcome to worship. Brenda is going to be extremely busy this morning, because not only is she needing the service, she's operating the computer as well. So, thanks Brenda for taking the service today. It is a fellowship-led worship where I believe that people contributed various pieces towards the service. Maybe most of today, it's going to be a reasonable day, so it's going to be awful. That's where we are at the moment. Anyway, over to Brenda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A very big welcome to this fellowship-led worship. Particular welcome to those listening to the recording of this service. You're all in our thoughts and prayers. We hope to welcome some of you back to church in the coming months. Also, a thank you to those who've suggested hymns and music for today's service, and also to those who've kindly volunteered to do the readings. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for bringing each one of us to this service today. Coming to church was something we used to take for granted. Now we recognise how precious this time is with you. We pray that you will speak to us each individually through the readings and hymns, and that we will take away a message from our time here this morning. Be with us, Lord, this morning, and hear our prayers. Amen. Here in the UK, spring is a miraculous experience. The whole world comes alive after the winter in which it seemed that everything was dead. The world becomes filled with colour and scent. The world that seemed so dull and cold has come alive once again. Beneath the cold, hard ground in winter, the plants and trees were preparing for rebirth. Today in our fellowship-led worship, we're going to celebrate the arrival of spring. And we're going to start by listening to a very well-known hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, number 23 in your hymn books.
Thank you.
Yesterday, the first of day, was May Day, now part of the May Bank Holiday weekend, where traditionally the coming of spring is celebrated. What do you associate with May Day? Morris dancing?
My grandson's birthday.
Dancing round the Maypole? May Queen festivals? May baskets? I've not heard of that one. Baskets of sweets left anonymously on neighbours' doorsteps. Has that happened to you? It's kind of very much a pagan secular celebration. It doesn't feature particularly in the church calendar nowadays. In Cambridgeshire villages, there was a tradition for young girls to go May dolling. So they dressed dolls and went round the villages collecting pennies. And they had a song that they sang. I'm not going to sing it. Sing a song of Maytime. Sing a song of spring. Flowers are in their beauty. Birds are on the wing. Maytime, playtime. God has given us Maytime. Thank him for his gifts of love. Sing a song of spring. We as a church have had Rose Queen celebrations, but they're a bit later with Walking Day in June, aren't they? So what does the Bible say about spring? Well, using a digital version of the Bible that I have on my phone, I can search for the word spring. I can assure you there's absolutely no reference to spring as a season in the Bible. Just a freshwater spring, but no reference to spring. That's a good start, I thought, when I'd already chosen the topic of spring for the service. So I did a bit more research. We live in a country with four defined seasons: spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Some countries close to the equator don't have any seasons. Countries in the southern hemisphere have the opposite seasons to us. In the days when we could jet off around the world on holiday, Godfrey, that was something we'd take advantage of. In Israel and the lands where Jesus and the Bible authors lived, there are only really two recognised seasons, summer and winter. So the summer is hot and the winter is wet. This is probably why spring doesn't get such a mention in the Bible. There was not actually a Hebrew word for it at the time. One quote from the Bible is from Song of Songs. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. This is a quote from the Bible, and it's often put up on posters around springtime. But it's kind of more a statement of fact than the preachings of Jesus, isn't it? Genesis 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. In this verse, spring and autumn are kind of replaced by seed time and harvest. I have vegetables delivered in a veg box from a farm in High Lee. Farmers seem to be totally obsessed with the weather. Not just at harvest time when they need a few dry days to get their combine harvesters out, but throughout the year. As well as receiving the vegetables in our veg box, we get a newsletter which keeps us updated on the impact of the current warmth, cold, wet or dryness on their ability to grow vegetables. Currently, they report, the number of cold nights in April has confused the plants, so they're not growing as fast as normal. They have had long days planting until after dark, when they've believed the conditions have been just right. A quote from Kenyon Hall Farm they put on their Facebook page. The asparagus is almost ready to cut. Baby currants are beginning to form. Onion shoots are peeping through. And we've spotted the first strawberry flower of the year. We took a stroll round the fields today, noticing the signs of new life all around. It's such a joyful time of year here on the farm, full of hope. In biblical times, they would have been more connected to the growing of food than we are today. And the ability to sow seeds to grow crops would have probably been more important than the sight of wild flowers. It's often overlooked, but we do have Plough Sunday in the Christian calendar, although it's in January, probably a little earlier than some seeds could be planted here, and certainly before spring has arrived in the UK. Let's celebrate the ability to sow seeds as we listen to our next hymn, a very familiar one. Hymn number 732, We Plough the Fields and Scatter. Which is your favourite season? We're now going to listen to a poem read by Janice.
Spring. One of four siblings. The youngest, of course. Or am I the oldest? Not really sure. I bring new life and herald the warmth. But hay fever too. Is in my source. Autumn has colour, but tinged with decay. Some call her fall. I think she's okay. Not like my brother, cold in his breath. Winter, his name, in darkness brings death. Summer's the one that gets all the glory, but brush fires and sunburn are in her story. So, season of choice, who will win? The one with potential. Of course, it's spring.
Thank you. Enid has also written a poem about spring, but she didn't feel up to coming and reading it out, so it's gone in the newsletter this week. Our next hymn is number 152, For the Beauty of the Earth. We're now going to listen to a story by Hans Christian Andersen, read to us by Jean and John.
The story is called The Conceited Apple Branch. It was the month of May. The wind still blew cold, but from bush and tree, field and flower, came the welcome sound, spring is come. Wildflowers in profusion covered the hedges. Under the little apple tree, spring seemed busy, and told his tale from one of the branches which hung fresh and blooming, and covered with delicate pink blossoms that were just ready to open. The branch well knew how beautiful it was.
This knowledge exists as much in the leaf as in the blood. I was therefore not surprised when a nobleman's carriage, in which sat the young countess, stopped in the road just by. She said that an apple branch was a most lovely object and an emblem of spring in its most charming aspect.
Then the branch was broken off for her, and she held it in her delicate hand and sheltered it with her silk parasol. Then they drove to the castle, in which were lofty halls and splendid drawing rooms. Pure white curtains fluttered before the open windows, and beautiful flowers stood in shining, transparent vases, and in one of them, which looked as if it had been cut out of newly fallen snow, the apple branch was placed among some fresh, light twigs of beech. It was a charming sight. Then the branch became proud, which was very much like human nature.
People of every description entered the room, and according to their position in society, so dared they to express their admiration. Some few said nothing, others expressed too much, and the apple branch very soon got to understand that there was as much difference in the characters of human beings as in those of plants and flowers. Some are all for pomp and parade. Others have a great deal to do to maintain their own importance, while the rest might be spared without much loss to society. So thought the apple branch as he stood before the open window, from which he could see out over gardens and fields, where there were flowers and plants enough for him to think and reflect upon, some rich and beautiful, some poor and humble indeed.
Poor despised herbs, said the apple branch. There is really a difference between them and such as I am. Now unhappy they, how unhappy they must be, if they can feel as those in my position do. There is a difference indeed, and so there ought to be, or we should all be equals.
And the apple branch looked with a sort of pity upon them, especially on a certain little flower that is found in fields and in ditches. No one bound these flowers together in a nosegay. They were too common. They were even known to grow between the paving stones, shooting up everywhere like bad weeds, and they bore the very ugly name of dog flowers or dandelions.
Poor despised plants, said the apple bough. It's not your fault that you are so ugly and that you have such an ugly name. But it is with plants as with men. There must be a difference.
A difference? Cried the sunbeam as he kissed the blooming apple branch and then kissed the yellow dandelion out in the fields. All were brothers, and the sunbeam kissed them, the poor flowers as well as the rich.
The apple bough had never thought of the boundless love of God, which extends over all the works of creation, over everything which lives and moves and has its being in him. He'd never thought of the good and beautiful which are so often hidden, but can never remain forgotten by him, not only among the lower creation, but also among men.
The sunbeam, the ray of light, knew better. You do not see very far, nor very clearly, he said to the apple branch. Which is the despised plant you so specially pity?
The dandelion, he replied. No one ever places it in a nosegay. It's often trodden underfoot. There's so many of them. And when they run to seed, they have flowers like wool, which fly away in little pieces over the roads and cling to the dresses of the people. They're only weeds, but of course there must be weeds. Oh, I'm really very thankful that I am not made like one of these flowers.
There came presently across the fields a whole group of children, the youngest of whom was so small that it had to be carried by the others. And when he was seated on the grass among the yellow flowers, he laughed aloud with joy, kicked out his little legs, rolled about, plucked the yellow flowers, and kissed them in childlike innocence. The elder children broke off the flowers with long stems, bent the stalks one round the other to form links, and made first a chain for the neck, then one to go across the shoulders and hang down to the waist, and at last a wreath to wear round the head, so that they looked quite splendid in their garlands of green stems and golden flowers.
But the eldest among them gathered carefully the faded flowers, on the stem of which was grouped together the seed, in the form of a white feathery coronal. Those loose, airy wool flowers are very beautiful and look like fine snowy feathers or down. The children held them to their mouths and tried to blow away the whole coronal with one puff of the breath. They'd been told by their grandmothers that whoever did so would be sure to have new clothes before the end of the year. The despised flower was by this raised to the position of a prophet or foreteller of events.
Do you see, said the sunbeam, do you see the beauty of these flowers? Do you see their powers of giving pleasure?
Yes, to children, said the apple bough.
By and by an old woman came into the field, and with a blunt knife without a handle, began to dig round the roots of some of the dandelion plants and pull them up. With some of these she intended to make tea for herself, but the rest she was going to sell to the chemist and obtain some money.
But beauty is of higher value than all this, said the apple tree branch. Only the chosen ones can be admitted into the realms of the beautiful. There is a difference between plants, just as there is a difference between men.
Then the sunbeam spoke of the boundless love of God, as seen in creation and over all that lives, and of the equal distribution of his gifts, both in time and in eternity.
That is your opinion, said the apple bough.
Then some people came into the room, and among them the young countess, the lady who had placed the apple bough in the transparent vase so pleasantly beneath the rays of the sunlight. She carried in her hand something that seemed like a flower. The object was hidden by two or three great leaves, which covered it like a shield, so that no draught or gust of wind could injure it, and it was carried more carefully than the apple branch had ever been. Very cautiously, the large leaves were removed, and there appeared the feathery seed crown of the despised dandelion. This was what the lady had so carefully plucked and carried home so safely covered, so that not one of the delicate feathery arrows of which its mislike shape was so lightly formed should flutter away. She now drew it forth quite uninjured and wondered at its beautiful form and airy lightness and singular construction so soon to be blown away by the wind. See, she exclaimed, how wonderfully God has made this little flower. I will paint it with the apple branch together. Everyone admires the beauty of the apple bough, but this humble flower has been endowed by heaven with another kind of loveliness. And although they differ in appearance, both are the children of the realms of beauty.
Then the sunbeam kissed the lowly flower, and he kissed the blooming apple branch, upon whose leaves appeared a rosy blush.
Thank you. It's quite a long reading. We're now going to listen to a beautiful piece of music called All in the April Evening. It's not in the hymn books. It's more something that the choir might sing, but we're going to listen to Alan Jones's version. Anne is now going to read our Bible reading, a very familiar passage from Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8.
A time for everything. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Thank you. Our next hymn is number 786, Yes, God is Good. We live in a part of the world with ever-changing seasons. Whether we're struggling through a cold and seemingly lifeless winter season or a hot and hectic summer season, we can find great hope in knowing that a warm, flourishing spring or a cool, abundant autumn harvest is just around the corner. As the reading from Ecclesiastes tells us, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. The differing seasons seem to reflect our own lives with their ups and downs. There may be signs of spring outside, but what season are you on the inside? Each of us will face a winter season at one time or another. This could be a divorce, an illness, the loss of a loved one, a financial setback, or struggles with our children. When a difficult situation brings winter into our life, it's easy to feel frustrated, stressed out, depressed and overwhelmed. Spring reminds us of a new season of hope and joy in Him. Hope and joy that you experience personally and also that you share with those around you. If you've ever bought indoor flowering bulbs, you will know that in order to get them to produce flowers, they must be planted and left in a cold, dark place for several weeks before being brought out into the warmth and light. Spring is a wonderful season. It may be your favourite season, but the differing seasons are all important in nature, and they're also important in our own lives too. If you're going through a winter season in your marriage, your job, your health, your finances, your emotions, or with your children, God wants to give you confident hope that a better season is ahead. However, you may find yourself doubting that you'll ever see springtime again, and perhaps it's hard to even picture what an abundant life would look like. Whatever you may be going through today, I encourage you to keep on loving, praying, and believing. Sing one more song, be steadfast and unmovable. Lay aside every weight holding you down or holding you back. Don't give up. The more difficult your winter season has been, the deeper the roots, your roots can grow in Christ, and the greater your coming harvest will be. And because of the lessons of the winter season, a whole new beginning can be yours, new joy, new peace, and a new level of contentment in your life in God. Springtime is just around the corner, a spring of greater vision, a spring of answers to your prayers. As you await your springtime, continue trusting in God. Continue crying out to him. Continue believing his promise to work all things together for your good. Remember, you are not alone in this journey of faith. Spring is a time of warming weather and nature coming back to life. As flowers bloom and animals are born, we are reminded of the innocence and beauty that exists in this world, and that there is new life all around us. As Christians, we are given new life and new mercies every morning. Spring provides a wonderful reminder to us, that we should be living a full life and leaving the old parts, dead parts of life behind. There is always hope during the coldest, darkest winters of life. Spring will come and new life will come forth. Spring gives us hope for rejuvenation in our own lives. Spring is a time to renew the excitement and zest for life that lives inside. Let us pray. First, a blessing of the offertory. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you. But we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory. Amen. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to worship together. Please help everyone here today to learn something new about you. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that spring brings each year, for the warmth and signs of new life, for the feeling of hope. We pray for peace throughout the world and for everyone's heart to be filled with love so that we can live together in harmony, whatever our differences are. We pray especially for refugees and asylum seekers everywhere, that they will be welcomed into their new communities and not treated cruelly. We continue to pray for the time when everyone will have food, water, shelter, medical supplies, and the chance to sleep without fear of tomorrow. God of love, hear our prayer. You created our world and gave us life. We are sorry for destroying your creation. We have chopped down trees, polluted the air, poisoned the rivers and seas, and destroyed the places where animals live. Help us to change our ways so that we can look after this world and make it the way you want it to be. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. Please give them peace in their pain, strength in their weakness, and comfort in their sadness. Especially we pray for the people of India at this time and everyone in the world impacted by coronavirus. God of love, hear our prayer. In a moment of silence, let us remember those dear to us, each of us, that need our prayers. Let us now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Everlasting God, you have given us new life, and as we go back out into the world now, we pray that our lives will reflect your love to all those we meet. Amen. Now for our final hymn, we're going to sing hymn number 200, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Thanks once again to all the people who've read and suggested hymns. Shall we say the grace to each other? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.
It's becoming a habit, but I keep on forgetting to do the notes at the beginning of the service. Next week I'll be doing Elliot in service, it's sacrament. 10:30 is normal. The news, some paper copies of the latest newsletter at the back. Don't take the ones with the blue tag on the top, they're for their aunt. The rest, the other pile, just take one as freely as you wish.